there. Glad to have you with us as a part of our midweek Wednesday night Bible study. My name is Justin Reed. I'm honored to be the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ. We're located at 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. I don't know why I'm clipping. Okay. There we go. I don't know what that was doing. Anyways, glad to have you along with us here. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to study God's Word. We're going to open the Bible. We are going to learn about Romans chapter 6. Oh, there I am again. Sorry about that. I'm doing about four things. I am sharing this video to the Facebook page for the Wood Church of Christ. I hope that you can join us any chance that you may have there. We'll be back in the building, Lord willing, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Let's see, share to a page. If you have not been with us in our midweek Bible study series, but maybe your home congregation is not meeting tonight due to inclement weather, you are a special guest. You are our honored welcome guest. Thank you for being with us. We do these every Wednesday night. We have been at 6:30. And so you can go back and study some other ones, and if any other opportunity affords itself, we would be honored if you would consider worshiping and studying here with us. All right, sharing this Wednesday night. I hope you're warm. I hope you're safe. I hope you're faithful. I hope you're praying. We've had a crazy week weather-wise, but I tell you what, I serve the God that's in control of all the weather. And He always has been, and He always will be as well. And I am thankful for that. And I'm thankful that you're here. A, because if not, then I'm just talking to myself, which I do anyways. But I do thoroughly enjoy having you here with us. What we're going to do tonight here in less than a minute now, we will officially begin our Wednesday night Bible studies. We're actually going to study one of my favorite passages in the entirety of the Bible. And I'm not teaching it tonight because it is my favorite passage, but 6 weeks ago, we began a study of the book of Romans. And Lord willing, we will go through the whole book, all 16 chapters. The goal is in 16 weeks, devoting each week to a chapter. That's not hitting on every single thing in the chapter, but that's also making sure we don't leave out the important stuff. See what we can glean from that. I've got 6:30. I would like to once again welcome you in to our midweek Bible study. I hope you have your copy of Romans open to the 6th chapter. We're going to spend the entirety of our lesson there tonight. I may make a passing reference to one or two other passages, but we will stay in this chapter. We will let the Bible be our guide. Now, as a quick recap, Paul has never been to R is Rome. That just abbreviates in my notes. Capital P is Paul. But Paul has never been to the city of Rome when he writes this letter. Now, Rome being the capital of the world at that time, a very interesting makeup there. It's composed of Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians as well. And so sometimes there was a clash of cultures, if you will, where these Jewish Christians brought in their upbringing and these Gentile Christians brought up their upbringing. But Paul has never been there. He'll make it there about 4 years later, about 60 A.D., give or take a year. And it's thought that he writes this in a little pause that happens between Acts chapter 20, verse 2, and verse 3. Now, chapter 5, as we discussed last week, which if you missed that, feel free to go back and find the notes and rewatch them, or find the video, I should say. But chapter 5 serves almost as if a bridge, if you will, because the first four chapters really talk about justification. And beginning with our chapter tonight, Paul talks about sanctification. And so last week he talked about a bridge, and that bridge being peace. Tonight we're going to discuss our new life in Christ, how we are sanctified in Christ, how we have been set apart from the world in Christ. And our lesson's really divided up almost right down the middle. It's 23 verses, so it's an odd number of verses, but almost right down the middle. And we're going to look at two things, and two things that do not give us a license to sin. In other words, it's not a sin however you want to card, because you can be forgiven. Join me as we study the 6th chapter of Romans. And our first thing, grace is not a license to sin. We find that in the first 14 verses. We see the word holiness often in the King James, maybe newer translations, the New American Standard, for instance, sanctification. We need to realize that this sanctification process, this process of becoming holy, if you will, two ways it happens. One, it happens when we are a Christian. But friends, there's also that daily sanctification process where I daily make the decision to be separate and apart from the world. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So see, he's starting out with a question, and sadly, friends, this was a common first century question. It was a common first century attitude. They'll say, well, what? Shouldn't we just continue in sin? Because we've just talked about grace, Paul, and so shouldn't we just keep sinning so we can get more of God's grace? A reference there to the fourth verse of Jude, where Jude says, there crept in certain men unawares, before ordained of old to this condemnation, they're ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jude is saying, the half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's saying there are people who crept in unaware who have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, something that God does not like. The question, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here's your answer, God forbid. A phrase, that we've already looked at a couple of times in Romans. It will keep showing up in this book. But Phillips, in his commentary, translated, what a ghastly thought. Notice, he says, God forbid. Heavens, no, certainly not. That is the strongest condemnation that Paul could have given in Greek. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I want you to think about, for instance, you're walking down the side of the road, and since the raccoon is the state animal of Tennessee, we'll use a raccoon, for instance. You see a dead raccoon on the side of the road, and you and whoever you're with, you're walking along, and one of you happens to have a pack of Eat-A-Snack crackers. And so you go over to that raccoon, and you squat down on your hands and knees. You take that peanut butter and cheese cracker, and you start waving it back and forth in front of his nose. And guess what that raccoon's going to do? Nothing. Why? He's dead. Now, that raccoon being alive would probably want that cracker. Well, the same thing's here, right? Paul says, how are we that are dead to sin, how should we live any longer there in that sin? Friends, in that illustration, we are the raccoon, and sin would be that cracker, and Satan's trying to put that cracker, that sin in front of us. Paul says, we're dead to sin. How can we live any longer therein? We can't. Then Paul says, know ye not? In other words, he's writing to people who know this. He's writing to Christians. He's reminding them, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? How and when do we die to sin, friends? Well, when we're baptized. In fact, these two verses, they only mention a baptism in this letter because Paul's not trying to convert these Christians in Rome because they're Christians. But he's reminding them, well, we're baptized into his death. We'll get into that more in verse 4. But I want you to notice, Paul does not say baptism is an extra. He doesn't say you can be saved and then later, if you feel good in your heart, you just go ahead and be baptized. Maybe we'll pick a day and we'll baptize hundreds of people. That's not what he says. He says we're baptized into Jesus Christ. I want you to notice a personal relationship with Christ. In verse 3, we're baptized into Christ equals being baptized into, preposition into his death. Verse 4 is going to say we're buried with him in baptism. Verse 5, we're united with him. Verse 6, we're crucified with him. Verse 8, we've died with Christ. We live with him. See, note that personal relationship we have with Christ. Why? Because we're baptized into his death. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. Friends, since we have been called out of that watery grave of baptism, we as Christians, we should act like it. Paul says you shouldn't be acting like the world, who's saying, well, just go out and sin because you can get forgiven. On the contrary, friends, we've been baptized into Christ the same way that I am into this jacket. I put it on. But he keeps going on. If means since here in this Greek word, likeness of his death. Well, hold on. If we've been planted together, united together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. United there, newer translations, together there. It's a compound word in the Greek, means with plus grow. Paul says, since we are united, since we have been planted, since we are growing with Christ in his death, we shall be also in his resurrection. Knowing this, the fact that we're a new man, our old man in the Greek, he's meaning before we were Christians, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Watch this. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Well, verse 1 saying you might as well serve sin so you could be forgiven. That was the prevalent idea of the day. Paul says, no, we're dead to sin. We should not serve it any longer. For he that is free is dead, is freed from sin. You know, in the fifth chapter last week, we talked about in chapter 5, verse 21, how it was almost like sin was a king that ordered all of its subjects to die. Friends, sin reigned like a king, but now no longer has a reason to bow our knee to it. We've been freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Why do we believe, friends? Because we were raised to walk. We no longer live that old life of sin. Paul says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, he says death has no more dominion over him. Friends, Jesus Christ, the only person in the Bible, only person in history even, to be raised from the dead, never to die again. He says, death no longer has a dominion over him. We emulate Christ, therefore death has no dominion over us. For in that he, Jesus Christ, died, he died unto sin once, in that he liveth unto God. Now, you and I both know, and Peter points it out very, very plainly, succinctly even, Isaiah points it out, Jesus Christ had no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. So since he had no sins of his own, he took on my sins, he took on your sins, and he died upon the cross. That once for all statement, he liveth unto God. He's talking about a perpetual validity. It's something that he died once and for all, friends. It doesn't require repetition. He doesn't have to keep dying. He died only that once. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Consider or reckon there is an accounting term. You're trying to balance the books. You come with all the data before you try to make it all line up, right? So he says, consider, since you've died to the world, you're alive through Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your. Notice he's exhorting them, you, your. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. He says, we've died to sin, so don't let it reign. Don't let it be a ruler to you. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments, literally tools. That word instruments in the Greek, usually translated as weapons or armor in the New Testament. He says, don't use your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness to God. He said, however you use your body, you have two options. And the first one, you can either use it instruments of unrighteousness or instruments of righteousness. And he encourages the latter, using your talents, your tools, your ability, your weapons for God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. See, that's where we get our title, grace. It's not a permission, not a license to sin. You may paraphrase verse 14 by saying, well, you could go do that. You could let sin have dominion over you, but you'll be in trouble if you do. Did you ever have your parents say that? They told you don't do something, And then maybe they said, well, I'll tell you what, you do it, but you'll have to pay the consequences, friends. That's the same thing Paul's getting at the idea here when we're letting sin reign over us. Paul's saying, you can go out and sin, but you're not going to enjoy it. You may want to enjoy the so-called fleeting passions, but eternal separation from Jesus Christ our Lord's not what you want. He says, we're not under the law, we're under grace, but just because we're under grace, grace does not give me a license to go out and sin. I can't go out and commit all sorts of fornication, go out and rob a bank, go out and kill somebody, go out and play the lottery, go out and become drunk, go out and become lewd. Just because I have God's grace, friends, you're missing the point there. Since grace is not a license to sin, as we look at the back half of the chapter, friends, freedom from the law is also not a license to sin. He's just said, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. So then he transitions, and he asks a similar question to what Paul asked there in the first verse. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Once again, God forbid. Friends, we're no longer the slaves of sin. We are now the slaves of God. Paul, you just said we're not under law. We're under grace. You just told me grace is not a license to sin. Neither is freedom from the law. He said, should we sin because we're not under the law? God forbid. You're missing the point if you try to find a license to sin. I'll tell you right now, it's just like the sinner's prayer. It's not found in the Bible. Notice verse 16. Know ye not? Once again, he's writing to people who know this, but he's reminding them in a way. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Whether servants of sin unto death, or whether servants of obedience unto righteousness. Friends, man has a choice. You can either serve your lust, or you can serve God, and then whichever one you serve, that becomes your master. Remember what Jesus Christ said, don't you, in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hold to the one and despise the other, love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God in mammon, or God in riches, or God in the world. So you can't try to play both sides of the fence, friends. You got to make a choice. Who are you serving? But as a conjunction joins two thoughts together, and it serves as an opposite, a flipping of the table, if you will, usually going from bad to good in the Bible. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but that ye have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine we delivered unto you. I tell you what, these people that believe in faith only, which the only time we find faith only is in James chapter 2, where he says, faith only is dead, being alone. That doesn't get you anywhere. These faith only teachers, sometimes they don't even act like Romans 6, 16 and 17 are in there. Why? Paul's saying, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, not that you were sinning, but that you came out of that, that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. See, they had to obey. Faith only says you don't obey, yet Paul says, but God be thanked you did obey. He says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. See how he swapped that? We're freed when? When they obeyed from the heart, not before. How do I know? Go back to verse 17. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. You'll meet people in the so-called religious world that have it wrong, friends, but they'll say something effect of, well, I was saved when God talked to me and he touched my spirit, and then later I was baptized. No. According to the Bible, not just in read, but according to the Bible, you're freed when you obey from the heart and not a moment before. That's why the gospel call is so urgent. That's why you see every account in the book of Acts, they did not delay. They were baptized right then, right there, immediately the same hour on the spot. We keep going here in verse 19. He says, I speak after the manner of men, because of your infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Paul is, in essence, saying, I'm going to use an illustration that you are comfortable with because I don't want you to miss what I'm about to say. He says, You yield your members servants of cleanness and servants of iniquity unto iniquities. That's what you used to do. Paul says, I wish you'd take that same zeal, that same determination, and work your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. These people who used to be sin, sin, sin all day long, all they could do is sin. He says, I want you to take the same attitude, but replace sin with being righteous unto holiness. And that's how you are to live. He says, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness or to righteousness. In other words, he's encouraging them to continue committing your lives to the Lord. See, remember at the start of the chapter we talked about sanctification and how, in essence, that's one of the things we do on a daily basis. He's encouraging them. He says, when you're freed from that, when you're freed from sin, you follow after righteousness. This tells me that we need to work as a Christian, because he's writing to people who have been Christians for a handful of years now. It's something that we must go on. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? Things you're ashamed, we know sin causes us to be ashamed. For the end of these things is death. Benefit, he's talking about, what's the benefit of this fruit? Well, I'll show you the benefit of sin. You ready? You get a guilty conscience. You get a failure to be what God intends for us to be. You get an alienation from those that we love. How many families have been torn apart by sin? Friends, you get an inability to enjoy the blessings of God. And worse, the worst outcome, spiritual death. As if these others weren't bad enough, sin, when left unchecked in our lives, results in death. James tells us that. John tells us that. Why would you want to produce the fruit of sin? I don't. Notice this. He said, the end of these things is death. But now, positive, being made free from sin, and you've become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, the end, everlasting life. See, he just showed you that one road in verse 21. What does Jesus Christ say, Matthew 7:13-14? Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way which leads to destruction, many there be which go in thereat. Strive to enter in at the straight and narrow, for few there be which find it. One road, eternal condemnation, lost forever, weeping and gnashing of teeth, where their worm dieth not, eternal separation from God. The other side, life eternal. Home in heaven prepared for me, where I get to sit at the feet of my Maker, my Creator, and my Lord, and I get to sing His praises for an eternity. If you don't like singing God's praises, if you don't like going to church, and you want to go to heaven, friends, you'd be sadly mistaken to make it there, because you're not going to enjoy it. But if you enjoy things of the world, you wouldn't enjoy heaven, because worldly things aren't there. Sobering things Paul's telling us about. We need to make up our minds now, where do we want to go? And then we need to live accordingly so we'll get the verdict that we want. Now we get to one of the best known verses in Romans, one of the best known verses in the Bible. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, friends, too many people in the world, they think the wages of sin consist of pleasure. The wages of sin consist of popularity. The wages of sin consist of success. Paul says, no, 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 no. It's death. The wages of sin. Wages, what is that? Maybe you've gone through this verse and never really understood what it is in Greek. Wages were a soldier's pay. Barclay, in his commentary, says to the effect, it's something that a soldier would have earned at the risk of putting his body in harm's way and earned by the sweat of his brow after a hard day's labor. That's what these soldiers would be. It's think of it this way, the pay that we the money that we give to our brave men and women who are currently domestic and international fighting to keep us free. Although some may never see action, others repeatedly are in harm's way to keep me and you safe. They get paid for that. That's what they've signed up to do as an occupation. Our government pays them to do that. See, Paul here says, the pay of sin, the paycheck of sin, the wages of sin is death. But notice this, sin pays a wage. God gives you a gift. But there's that conjunction that changes the thought again. Wage of sin, death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you want that wage of sin or that gift of God? I want the gift of eternal life, so I am striving to live that way. That's how I would teach the sixth chapter of Romans. Now, very quickly, we've got three applications that will drive our lesson home, I feel, and then the lesson will be yours. Number one, God's grace is not a license for us to sin just because we can get forgiven. Friends, doing things in this way is contrary to God's plan. I've met people, and they don't say it, but they live a life, in essence, of, well, I can go out and do whatever I want to, then I just make sure I repent before it's all said and done, and I can be forgiven. Although you can be forgiven, I would hate to bank my soul's eternity, where I'm going to spend eternity on hoping to repent on my deathbed. Because what if I don't make it that far? Just because you can get forgiven does not mean you should go out to do things to be forgiven of. But God's grace comes in there where if we sin, if we fall short, when we fall short, we can be forgiven. You can't go out and commit fornication and say, well, I did it on purpose, but I only did it so I could be forgiven. You're missing the boat, friends. Lesson number two. When we obey the gospel by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, going to that water grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. Friends, we leave that old life of sin in that watery grave. When we're lifted back out, we should live our the rest of our lives in that newness of life. I tell you what, almost any church that I have, I've been to, has a cemetery nearby. Some of the bigger ones in cities don't, but a lot of the little country churches do. You wouldn't go out to that grave and try to bring up somebody. You wouldn't try to bring up your great-great-grandmother out of that grave. Why? Because they've died. They're in that grave. They've been buried there, friends. The same is true with our old life. When we obey the gospel, we go down in baptism, we're emulating and imitating the death of Jesus Christ, where He died, was buried, and rose again. We don't bring up that old life. We are a new creature. How Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5, a new creature. Our final lesson for us tonight. Friends, we deserve to die because of our sins. But thanks be to God Almighty, I do not get what I deserve. We should live our lives where it reflects our appreciation for God's sacrifice. The moment I sin for the first time, and I know right from wrong, and I know it's a sin, I deserve to die. But God didn't want that to happen. God, we studied in chapter 5, commended His love toward us, and that while I was yet a sinner, while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ died for you. Thanks be to God Almighty. So live a life where you're thankful. Each and every day. If you would like a copy of these notes, if they would help you study, be a stronger Christian, I would love to put a copy in your hands or on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/Bible resources, or you can just Google my name, Justin Reed Bible, R-E-E-D. Click on the Bible resources page. These are under the class notes section, the notes, and the PowerPoint for each chapter online, and you can download them, view them online, send them to other people, and you can back study any of the other chapters in Romans, because all the notes are on there and they'll stay online. Very quickly, want to invite you to some upcoming studies. As of now, we are scheduled to have a Bible study tomorrow night. If something were to come up due to weather, I will let you know on my page and on the Facebook page for Wood. But make plans now to join us tomorrow night, 6:30. We'll study Matthew 26. And if we somehow don't, I'll still post a Matthew study so you're not missing one. We'll just kind of do a greatest hits, if you will. Sunday morning, we'll be back in the building, 11 o'clock there, Wood Church Christ, 99 Sally Parton Road, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. It being the third Sunday of the month already again, Brother Billy Henson will be our guest speaker that morning, and so we are looking forward to that. Sunday night, we will continue our Live at 5 sermon series. It happens, well, live at 5 Central Standard Time. It will be online only. We're going to talk about Be Not Weary, a great lesson to encourage us to keep pressing on, especially in a time such as the present. I do appreciate your participation in our class tonight. Would you please share this video so others can study from Romans 6? I hope it has come across how much I love this chapter. I love all the Bible, but I've always loved Romans 6, and so I hope maybe we could study it with somebody together at a later time. If you'll just share this video, I'll greatly appreciate that. And we'll end this video the same way we've ended every lesson in our series. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for watching.